things about the secret place from Psalm 91. And we kind of launched into the whole concept of what it means, all the in-him realities. And we shared a handout with you, and I don't know if we still have any of those, but Pastor was wonderful. He compiled this huge list of all the in-hims. It was about 6 pages of them, and I can't tell you enough how important it is to be grounded in those passages of Scripture. There's just that is it. And hopefully tonight, what I have in my heart to share tonight will maybe help to shed a little bit more light on that. Because to me, the whole concept of in him, in Christ, through him, by whom, I don't know about you, but for me, I have found some of that to be a little on the obscure side and a little difficult to get my head around. Has anybody else ever felt that way? In him. Okay. Lord, help me with this. And we know that these are vital realities, vital truths, because the epistles are full of them, absolutely full of them. There's just dozens and dozens and dozens of scriptures that tell us who we are in Christ. You know, even Jesus, there were things Jesus couldn't even teach because the disciples just weren't in a place where they could even hear it yet. And even though all of what he did, it says if everything he had done had been written down in a book or in books, the world itself couldn't contain the books. And yet Jesus made the comment in John 16, he said, there is so much more I would like to say to you, but it's more than you can grasp at this moment. And so there's not a whole lot he told them about in him realities, because there was no way they stumbled over communion when he shared about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. I mean, they wobbled over that. And so he said, there's just a lot of things I would like to say to you, but it's more than you can grasp at this moment. But when the truth-giving spirit comes, he will unveil the reality of every truth within you. And so, you know, I heard one Bible teacher that I really, really, really respect say that the Gospels provide like a photo album into the life of Jesus. It's like looking at all the pictures of Jesus and all of the things he did. It's like a photo album of all sorts of things that he did. You know, the things he taught, the things he did, the healings, the deliverances, all of those kinds of things. But the epistles are more from an X-ray perspective. They show us in Christ, they show us in depth. So we see in the epistles, we see all of these in him realities. And we need the Holy Spirit, obviously, to reveal. It's not just head knowledge, it's really having a revelation of what these things are. That's what they provide. Those epistles give us a revelation of Christ and all the things that were accomplished through his death, his burial, and his resurrection. There's just a multitude of those revelations contained in the epistles. Well, because I have been in that place where I just said, Lord, Pastor shared some things about how he kind of looks at in him and how he interprets that. And it's like, that just didn't do it for me. You have to get your own. You have to get your own, don't you? You have to get your own revelation, your own insights to understand these things. And so one day, while meditating on a particular passage of Scripture, it just dropped on the inside of me in a way that I'd never seen this before. And I had a better understanding of, and I'm so thankful for this. When this happens and you get a better understanding of something, it changes the way you look at everything. And so I was reading 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, excuse me. It says, this is like, I would say this is the premier in him scripture, wouldn't you? 2 Corinthians 5, 17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So, that didn't help me. Actually, I was kind of laboring over that, like, Lord, what do you mean in Christ? Help me. You know, I've been around the block a few times, but I need some help here. And then I read it in the Amplified, and it just exploded. He said, therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creature altogether, a new creation, a new creature altogether. Old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away, and behold, the fresh and the new has come. And so I saw something I had never really saw. See, and now I don't know why these translators use the word engrafted in there, because I have studied this passage and there is nothing there to imply that it's engrafted. But the principle is in the scriptures in Romans chapter 11, where it talks about the wild olive branch being grafted into the true olive tree. And so that is a biblical principle. So we're going to teach from that principle, but we're going to look at it here from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. I'm so thankful that those translators used that word in this translation. I am so thankful, because it opened something up for me, and it has made my meditation on in him and in who, through whom and by whom scriptures so much more profitable, so much more fruitful. And you know, Jesus, I love the way Jesus taught, because most of the time he taught using parables. And I love the way the Amplified even says that in Matthew chapter 13, it says he told them many things in parables, stories by way of illustration. Another one says, another chapter says, by way of illustration, comparisons and stories used to illustrate or to explain. So that's the way Jesus taught. And I don't know why Jesus didn't teach this, except that, again, in him was a truth yet to be revealed to the church through Paul. It was yet to be revealed. So I'm just so thankful that those translators, that they use that word here, because it just opened something up for me. And so again, it's, you know, my husband and I were talking about the whole concept of, if you want a title, it's engrafted. He was saying, well, what about James chapter 1 verse 21, where it talks about the engrafted word? It's not the same. It's not the same application. That's talking about the word being germinated. That's not grafted. It's being germinated. It's talking about something being sown in your heart. Now, listen to the Phillips here in the same passage of Scripture. For if any man is in Christ, he becomes a new person altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything has become fresh and new, and all this is God's doing. Yes. It's all God's doing. There's nothing you can do. It's God's doing. That's why getting people saved is such a beautiful thing. It's all God's doing. We just have to play our little part. So the passages or the promises in 2 Corinthians 5 here are just, again, they're a little bit hard to grab onto if you don't get the whole concept, which I'm going to try to lay out here tonight. He says, we're a new creation, Brother Hagin always taught that that means a new species of being. In fact, it's a species that had never existed before. He says, old things have passed away. Well, that's difficult for a lot of people, because after they got saved, they look the same. They're, you know, if they were a little overweight before they got saved, they're still a little over, maybe even more so now. I mean, there's just a whole lot of things that if their nose was crooked before, it's still crooked, you know. There's a bunch of, but that's talking about the physical man. This passage is talking about what takes place on the inside of us, where 1 Peter tells us it's the hidden man of the heart. It's talking about the hidden man of the heart. It says all things have become new. It says all things are of God. That's what this passage says. Now, I'm not going to talk a whole lot about that, because I want to get into my illustration. So what happens when something is grafted? So we're going to look a little bit at the process and results of grafting. And I've looked at a ton of stuff online. You could take this proverb or illustration way too far, way farther than it needs to be said, but I think there are some points in here that are so awesome and so precious. You know, if you've ever seen a thing about grafting, a film about grafting, or a little article about grafting, all it is this is the process of inserting a shoot from one living plant into another living plant. So they take one living, like in apple trees, they'll take one shoot from one tree and they'll insert it into the shoot or part of the other tree, and they'll grow together as one plant. And through the process of grafting, the tissues are joined with the purpose of creating a new species. Isn't that awesome? A new creation, a new species that functions as a single plant. Now, you're not excited. I'm excited about this because the more you look at this, the more you realize, oh, wow, some of these things that I've struggled with, I can see how they work now, how they work. And the main purpose behind grafting is propagation, producing fruit. So there's two parts to grafting. The first part of it is the rootstock. And the rootstock, and I'm just going to read to you what I took out of some of the things that I gleaned. Excuse me. The rootstock comprises the roots of the tree. It provides, and again, as I'm reading this, you're going to see the spiritual parallels. It provides water, minerals. It determines the tree size, the fruit yield efficiency, the longevity of the plant, the resistance to pests and disease, cold hardiness, and the tree's ability to adapt to soil types. That's what the rootstock provides. Then the other part of it is what's known as the scion, S-C-I-O-N, and that is the part that's inserted into the rootstock. And the scion is the fruiting portion of the tree. That's us. It is responsible for the characteristics such as fruit type, flavor, and color. And this is what allows for the creation of plants with exact and superior characteristics. So the result of grafting is something superior, yes, something better than it was before, something fresh and new. But the thing that's really, that I think that was the most powerful part of this for me, is that the rootstock has to be wounded. The rootstock has to be cut. It has to be wounded with the same wound as the scion for the two to fuse together. The scion is inserted into the wound of the rootstock, and then they are wrapped or sealed together. There's no grafting without wounding. If Jesus hadn't been wounded for us, yes, there would be no in him. We are in him because he was wounded. Isaiah 53 says, verse 5 says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The wound of the rootstock has to be the same. It has to be equal to the wounding of the scion. On the cross, Jesus was wounded with our identical condition. Yes. Didn't he become sin? He who knew no sin was made to be sin for us. Yes. He was wounded with our identical condition, and we were engrafted into him. So without wounding, there's no grafting. And yet the Bible tells us we were engrafted into him through that wounding that took place on the cross. Oh, thank God for Jesus. Amen. What he did for us, what he was willing to do for us. He took our guilt. He took our shame. He took everything. He took everything that was wounding us. He took it all. He took everything that wounded us so we could be free. He took it all. We were engrafted into him at that time on the cross. We were engrafted there so that we could be one with him in his resurrection and in his victory. And then now you start looking at some of these scriptures and they just make so much more sense. And since then, now, whenever I'm reading the word or when I'm dealing with something in my life, I imagine myself as that little branch. Did you guys show that picture? The first one, Kevin? Number one. I've got some, there it is. That shows you, that's an illustration of what they do when they insert the scion into the rootstock. And they cut very similar. Now, there's different ways of grafting. I've looked at so many things, but this is the most common way. And then they wrap it or they seal it with some kind of sealant, like a wax or something like that. And then I thought about us being sealed by the Holy Spirit. You know, it's a lot more difficult to get unsaved than you think. Because we are sealed. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. You don't just suddenly become unsaved because you missed it in some way. A price that was far too great was paid so that we could be saved, for us to just be able to get unsaved easily. You know, I just grieve the Holy Spirit, and, you know, he's just so petty, and he can't take, you know, my little grievances, and so he, no, it's we are sealed. The Holy Spirit has sealed us. But 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made the only one who did not know sin to become sin for us, and that's what that wound was. He became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God through our union with him. There's no other way for you to become the righteousness of God but through your union with him. That's the only way we are made righteous. Only way. It's not any other way. It's not works of righteousness which we have done. It's what Jesus did. You know, Pastor last week talked about the little picture thing, you know, the little bifold or the trifold or manifold things that people have of their kids and family members. And he said, I'm Ray up here. And I thought, no, you know what? I don't mean to disagree with my husband because he is my husband. But I think God only has one picture. And it's Jesus. Because he sees, when he looks at that, he sees Pastor Duane. And he sees Dennis and Leanne, and he sees each one of us when he looks at that picture. He says, see my kids? Look, this is my kids. Galatians 2:20 says, I was crucified with Christ. In other words, I was wounded with him. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Do you see that? We live in him, and he lives in us. You see that from that picture, how obvious that is. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Romans 6 tells us that our old man was crucified with him. When Jesus was wounded, we were wounded with him. We were wounded with him. There was that joining that took place. Colossians 3:3 says, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. So again, when you see a picture, and we'll look at another picture here in a little bit. I'm trying to see where I want that to be. When you look at a graft that's healed, some of them are almost imperceptible. It's almost impossible to see where the graft took place because they grew up together. Where they were joined, it's just completely healed. There might be a little bit of a mark, a little scar. There might be a little bit of something there. You can show that second one, Kevin, if you have it handy. You see there how obviously different those two are? The rootstock, look at the difference in the rootstock from the part, the scion, and what the scion became. That's what God wants for us. He wants that to be our lives, this fruit-bearing, wonderful new creation. It doesn't look much like the bottom part, but it just shows you how God respects and loves and is has a heart of tenderness for our uniqueness as human beings. That this is not talking about cloning. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about being engrafted into him for the purpose of becoming fruit bearers. And without that, we can't be fruit bearers. That's why religious works, just being a religious person and doing religious works, is never going to produce what being in him will produce in our lives. So our lives are hidden with Christ in God. I love that. We're hidden in there. We're hidden in him. We've been engrafted into him, and we are hidden there. And that's another thing about that is we shouldn't give the enemy so much credit. You know, we are hidden with Christ in God. You know, I'd like to say we're untouchable because we're in him. We're with him. So when you're tempted with self-doubt or you're tempted with intimidation or inadequacy or all the things that human beings face, inferiority, any of those things, you need to just remember these truths, who you are in him. Where, you know, now that one was pretty obvious, the difference, but many fruit trees, many apple trees, there's just different branches coming off and you can't tell the difference. That's what I love to imagine. I just love to imagine being rooted right in there and growing up out of him as the root, the one who provides everything I need. And how can I feel inadequate? I'm part of that. How can I feel inferior? I am part of that. Now listen to John 15. John 15, 5. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, again, he that abideth in me and I in him, they've grown together. That's talking about grafting. Grafting. The same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Nothing. He didn't say some things, he said nothing. If we don't have a revelation of being grafted into Christ, that we are in him, we can produce nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. There's nothing we can do. Well, you could do a few good things, you know, but they're not going to produce the kind of fruit that God desires to produce through our lives. The Passion Translation says, I am the sprouting vine and you are my branches. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. And when you live separated from me, you are powerless, and we could say, to produce fruit. That's why Christians who never find out who they are, they never spend time reading God's word, meditating on those in him passages of scripture, and there are gobs of them. We have 6 pages here of in hims, in whoms, by whoms, through whoms.
I think they're still out there.
There's still some out there? Okay, if you didn't get one of those. If you don't know those, if you don't understand that, if you haven't fed on those realities, you will never, ever become that fruitful vine, that fruitful branch, the fruiting one where he says, fruitfulness will stream from within you. But if you live separated from that, if we just try to live just doing, we're just going to be good little good works people, you know. But when it's coming out of our union with him, there's a fruitfulness that it's a wonderful fragrance to God when it comes from our union with him. Philippians 4:19 says, again, my God shall supply all my need to produce according to his riches and glory. What provides the nourishment for that plant? The rootstock. Remember, we looked at that early. The rootstock provides water, minerals, and determines the tree size, the fruit yield efficiency, the longevity of the plant, the resistance to pests and disease, cold hardiness, and the tree's ability to adapt to soil types. It says he will supply all of our need. Whatever God has called you to do on the face of this earth, whatever your purpose is here, God will supply your need to fulfill that. He will supply whatever is required for you to walk that out and to be fruitful in it and to produce gold, silver, and precious stones instead of wood, hay, and stubble. Amen? Because we look to him to be our source. He will supply all of our need. Then Philippians 4:13, he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. If we don't understand that union with him, if we don't understand that we are rooted in him, that we are engrafted into him, we won't understand that he is the one who strengthens us. I can do all things. And again, you're facing a challenge, Imagine yourself as that little branch tucked in there, and that's growing up into that part of the tree, that new species, that new creation, that you're being strengthened by him. The strength comes from him. The Amplified says, I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I'm ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. Infuse means to permeate. If we don't feed on God's word, if we don't meditate, you know, meditation is more than just saying something over and over again. It's imagining. It's imagining yourself. Imagining what your life would be like if that passage, that scripture, were operating through you. And so for me, this revelation of being engrafted into him now, when I meditate on these truths, I envision that graft, that joining of those two parts, and what happens from the roots part, and what my part is, what my responsibility is. It says he infuses inner strength into us. 2 Peter 1:4 says that there are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of his divine nature. Again, there's something about this joining that takes place. There's an exchange. There's something that's given to us. And when you're a partaker, that means you experience something along with someone else. We are partakers by being grafted into him. We partake of his divine nature. Yes. Colossians chapter 2, verse 7 says, have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in him, fixed and founded in him, being continually built up in him, becoming increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith. So you can see progress. There's a progressive side to this. You know, where these when a graft is made, it takes time for that graft to begin producing fruit. It doesn't immediately become fruitful. It takes time for that graft to grow, the scion part of it to grow and to become fruitful. Well, that's our time spent in the Word, getting rooted in the Word of God and getting established in who we are in him. Amen. The most powerful Christian on the face of the earth is one who knows who they are. They know what they have. They know what they can do in him. But Christians who don't know who they are, there's this huge identity crisis in the body of Christ. That's why people have been so easily moved off of the truth in the hour we're living in right now. Because they don't know who they are. They just don't know who they are. We need to focus on getting established in who we are. Ephesians 2:10. I love this. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We are his workmanship. Remember, John 15 says he is the husbandman. Jesus said, I'm the vine, but my Father is the husbandman, the farmer, the vine dresser. He is the one that does the work through us. But we have to become established in those realities and in those truths. And then Acts 17, verse 28 says, for in him we live and we move and we have our being. We have no being aside from him as believers. We in him we have being and we have life. And that's where we're to move. And that's why, again, if there's nothing you've ever done before as a believer, you need to get established in these. There's so many of them. There's so many of these promises of what we have because we've been engrafted into him. Oh, glory to God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 19. I love this. This is the passion. It says, but we receive directly from him, and his life supplies vitality into every part of his body through the joining ligaments connecting us all as one. He is the divine head who guides his body and causes it to grow by the supernatural power of God. So, Kevin, you could show that third picture. This one, each color represents a different type of apple scion that was attached to one tree. So each one of those branches would produce a different type of apple. That's the body of Christ. That's us. Each one of us are like one of those branches. We're not clones. We are all different. We all have different expressions of our Christianity. We all produce fruit that as God's life flows through us and is interpreted through us. Each one of us is like one of those branches. Isn't that awesome? That's just so, I don't know about you, but it sure blessed me. Glory. But it says, we receive directly from him, and his life supplies vitality into every part of his body. Last two months ago, when I shared from this passage in, again, the Passion Translation, Colossians chapter 3, verses 2 through 4. Listen to this. It says, yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm. Your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life. Your true life is hidden always in God, in Christ. And as Christ himself is seen for who he really is, who you really are will also be revealed, for you are now one with him in his glory. So the challenge for us isn't to try to do any of the things that we read about in the scripture. It's just learn who you are in Christ, and all of those wonderful in him realities will begin to operate. They'll become real. And all that's required is to believe it. Now here's a little different translation of 2 Corinthians 5:17. This is the New Amplified Version. I'm not as crazy about the New Amplified, but in this particular verse, it was really good. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that is grafted in, and listen to what it says, grafted in, joined to him by faith in him as Savior. How do we become grafted in? By faith in him as Savior. That's how simple it is. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you don't climb into that wound. You don't put yourself into that place. This is not of your doing, remember? It's of his doing. It says, join to him by faith in him as Savior. It says, he is a new creature, reborn, renewed by the Holy Spirit. The old things, the previous moral and spiritual condition have passed away. Behold, new things have come because spiritual awakenings bring new life. Isn't that awesome? That is so awesome. So it's just simply just believing on Jesus as your Savior, and you were grafted in. That's simple. You know, being a Christian is not difficult. What's difficult is when we just don't do it the way he says to do it. When we don't focus on those in him realities and find out who we are, what we have, what we can do in him. And of course, then there are works that we do, but they're works that are the result of being rooted and grounded in him. But we have to be joined to him by faith in him as our Savior. It's so simple. And there's so much more. You know, I'm sure somebody that's a better teacher could get up here and just expound so much more. My husband will always come up with 1,000 more examples and illustrate. Well, you know, and then there's this and that. But that's what I've got. Just when you're facing something in your life and you just don't know what to do, or you're facing some difficulties, just sit down, close your eyes, and imagine yourself as that part that's growing out of him. And just see yourself that his strength is flowing through you. His spirit is flowing through you. His supply is flowing through you. His everything about Jesus flows through us. And as that one part said, the result of that is going to be fruit with exact and superior characteristics. They're going to be the characteristics of Jesus. He said the same works he did, we're going to do, and greater works. That's because we're rooted in him. We're implanted in him. We're engrafted into him. And his life is flowing through us. You may not feel like it is. I don't care. It's not about feelings. It's about the truth. It's about the truth. This is the truth. It's not what we feel. I don't feel anything surging through me. Well, you know, there's times you feel things. Amen. It's wonderful when we have feelings. But that isn't most days. It's just believing what the word says. You know what? God, your word says it. I believe it. That settles it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father, thank you so much for your word. Father, we are so thankful that you chose to do what we could not do. Jesus was wounded for us. He was bruised for us. Thank you, Father God, that as we put our faith in him as our Savior, we are engrafted into him. And what results is a brand new thing, a brand new life, a changed life. Lord, we are so thankful that you did what was impossible for us to do on our own. Thank you, Lord, that you have made us to be the righteousness of God in him. Thank you, Lord God. We just come to you as we are, and you turn us into something new. Thank you, Father God. We are so thankful for your word, for those realities of who we are in you and what you've done for us and what we can be in you. Lord, we are so thankful. We are so thankful for that. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father.